That. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to the book of John, a familiar passage of Scripture and one that is going to kick off kind of our theme. Our theme verse is in John chapter number 3 and verse 17 for our missions conference, and took that out of that the world might know, and we want the whole world to know, amen. So John chapter number 3, and we'll start in verse number 14. This morning, I do appreciate everybody being with us, and I hope that you'll kind of come and be faithful throughout our missions conference. It's something that will burden your heart and life. It was something that will definitely help you get a vision for missions. I know that it's a great investment of your time to be out each night, and even if you can't be here on time and you're going to go home and can't feel like you can change, we'll be streaming every one of the services. We want you to be a part and to see each missionary's burden for the field. Brother Jensen going to the Navajo Indians, and then have so many diverse folks. And then even who will be preaching Wednesday night is someone who has just dedicated their life to printing the Scripture. And so we want to make sure, we want to put the light of the Lord Jesus in the hands, in the hearts of people around the world. We want to make sure that the gospel gets around the world, both in print, and we want a preacher to go to every land. Amen. And so this morning, as we kind of contemplate that thought, this may be a simple message for you, or something that you feel like is something that is just the verses you've heard before, but we need to be reminded of the great cause. We have the Great Commission up on the balcony, and love to see that, and what a blessing it is to just put it before us in our eyes. Sometimes our eye affects our heart, and we need to put it above it. And that's one of the reasons that we want you to come out and be here every night of the missions conference. Just seeing some of the slides, hearing the burden of the missionary, it'll affect us. It'll affect our heart to the place where we feel like, again, as Bible-believing Christians, we not only want to see people saved here in Haines City, but all around the world. I want to pray before we get started this morning. I hope you're in John chapter number 3, and we will get started around verse number 14. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I do pray that you would use me, Lord. I know this message is something that you laid upon my heart to give to your people. I pray this morning, Lord, that you let your Holy Spirit go into the hearts of the hearers, Lord, and that you would draw men unto yourself. If there's someone here that does not know Christ, that person would be drawn, and they would see Jesus high and lifted up as salvation, and that they would accept him as their Savior. For the Christians that have already received the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him, Lord, I pray that you'd be and do a work, draw them to a place where, Lord, that you would burden their heart for missions. Each one of them have a special gift and a talent that you want to use for your honor and glory and to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would reveal that to them today through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I beg you now, Lord, that you would use me. I do my best right now to surrender myself again to you, and just let me be your messenger boy to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. We'll ask it all in his name. Amen. John chapter 3, and you've heard these words, but I want you to start in verse number 14 with me this morning. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We see that the Lord Jesus is speaking here. If you have a red letter Bible, you could tell that, but just quickly in the Scripture, Jesus is speaking of himself. As he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Everyone else was hearing Jesus speak about Moses as he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness as something they had read or been taught as a story, but Jesus spoke of it as someone who was present and saw it with his own eyes. He is eternal. He is the eternal God. And many times when we read the scripture and think of him, we don't often think of him as someone being there as a cloud of fire. All right. And at night and a cloud during the day to lead his people through the wilderness. We don't often attribute the things that we ought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began the verse here, and I want to preach a message. And for the tape room's sake, the title this morning will be The Cost of Missions. The cost of missions. Every one of us realize things have cost, do we not? Every one of us, when you were thinking about whether you're going to come all week long and be a part of the missions conference, you first thought about the cost that it's going to bear of your time. That's what we all think about. We understand how much time it will cost us to invest it in world missions. And believe it or not, or even, you know, bear it on your own heart and soul, your investment of your time being in this place will affect world missions. Well, how is that so, preacher? Well, it'll affect you. It will affect your giving. It will affect your amount of surrender to the things of God and to his world missions, or the great commission of this world. You know, the cost is high for missions, folks. The cost was so high we think about all the costs. I mean, I was sitting thinking about costs when I thought, what is the first thing that I think about when it comes to cost? Well, I already talked about food tonight. We're going to have that on Friday, right? The first thing I think about when I think about cost is groceries. All right? I mean, when we count the cost around my house, we count how many chickens it's going to cost us this week to get, right? To get through the week, right? I mean, we could think about all those things, but it costs a lot more when you go down to the grocery store. You leave with you spend $100 and the buggy is empty. Yeah. There's hardly nothing in the buggy, and you're pushing it out to your car going, how in the world did I spend $100? Yeah. You're thinking, did they ring this up right? When you're standing there at your cart looking at what's in, and you're looking at the bacon, and you're looking at what's in the cart, and you're thinking about what you got to put back because you're not going to not get the bacon. Yeah. Right? You're just figuring what else you could do without so you could make sure the bacon got home. Amen. And we all laugh about it, but when we talk about bringing home the bacon, if we got paid in bacon, it would be worth something nowadays, wouldn't it? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Man, a pound of bacon is crazy. It's outrageous what things cost. To go down to the store, and this may not sound like a lot to you folks that have never done any building, but to go down there and just a simple 2x4 that isn't even quite 8 foot long, but they've already pre-cut it so that it's supposed to fit inside of an 8 foot wall. I don't know why they do that. Maybe it's to make it easier, but none of them are exactly the right size anyway. Amen. $4. And that may not, that don't count. That's, you know, how many toothpicks can you get? I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong business. I need to buy these 2x4s and cut them down to toothpicks, because you can buy toothpicks for like $2, right? I mean, 2x4s, $4 a piece, a sheet of plywood, that's when you'll have a heart attack. $30. Right? I mean, then that's a cheap piece, right? I mean, wherever you can find it. That's right. And it's outrageous what things cost. But then, I mean, we could go through the list, and nobody wants to talk about pulling up to the gas pump. And even worse, now when you pull up, there's a sticker that says, I did this. Yeah. Everywhere. Right? So not only do I have to look at the high gas prices, but somebody thinks it's funny to put them stickers there, and I got to be aggravated with him again while I'm there. I have to try to get my spirit right. Right there at the gas pump. The prices were already bad, but then someone else tried to make sure that I correlated. I already knew who the problem was. All right, but then somebody put a sticker up there. Amen? Hey, folks, we have so many things, and we realize the cost, and we realize the cost is going up. But that, I mean, there was a high cost for my salvation and yours. I mean, when we contemplate that cost, I mean, even for our electric bill, when I was a boy, and now the power bill is outrageous. It's crazy what we're paying for electric, even here on the East Coast. If you think you pay a big power bill here, go out where they turn it off on them every so often. And they still charge them an outrageous sum on the West Coast, but sometimes they just don't send it to you because they ain't got enough of it to go around. Folks, we've got to realize that the cost is high. When I was a boy, I remember, you know, if you looked at our house, you go by most houses today and you can tell whether somebody's home because the lights are on. Now, if you came to my house when I was a boy, you didn't know whether we were home or not, because they shut every light off in the house all the time. When you were in the room, you don't need it, right? They were just trying to save money all the time. I mean, everywhere you went. I mean, I'd walk through a room and my mom's following me around, clicking the lights off as soon as I, you know? I mean, when I was a kid, I know everyone younger than me doesn't understand this, because that's when night lights became popular. You were scared of the dark, so your parents put up a night light. My parents said, I said, I'm scared of the dark. They said, get over it. Right? It's just going to be there for the rest of your life. You know? I'm just telling you, that's what I got. I didn't even know there was such a night light until my wife was like, the kids will be scared of the dark. I was like, come on now. I would go and tell you more stories about that, but she's not here to defend herself right now. Okay? She's somewhere else in another building working right now. But she can tell you the other story later on. Make sure you ask her about the nightlight stuff, all right? So, but the cost is great. The electric bill is high, and we can see all the costs, but missions is just as high. When I contemplate and realize that God loved the world so much that he had to send his only begotten son, I realize that God looked down through time. And before man ever fell into sin and he created that man in the garden, he counted the cost of salvation. It was a great cost. It was so expensive that he would have to send his own son to die. And if you think that is a great cost, folks, I don't think you've read the story of Jesus Christ in his gospel. You don't realize what he went through. Do you realize when his creation buffeted him in the face? When his creation that he came to save would pluck out his beard? When creation that he created would just stand there and spit in his face? That is a high cost. When we talk about strength under control and how great Jesus Christ is, folks, there's a lot of things that you may say that Jesus is great. Oh, he lived a perfect life. He's God. That wasn't really hard for him. He was righteous. He is righteousness. And thankfully, because he shed his righteous blood on Calvary, I can get under the blood of Jesus Christ. I can get in on salvation because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. But folks, after he lived a perfect life, you know that God still could have been righteous and killed every one of the men that spit in his face. Jesus still could have been righteous and judged the men that wrongfully judged him and said, even when Pilate went to the place and said, I find no fault in him. But they still sent him to the cross anyway to appease a crowd. We live in a day and age where we realize, see, the Bible contrasts light, the cost that it, a great cost to bring light into the world. Do you know if Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't even really know what light was about. We would live in such a dark world, lost in our sin, with the ability to know righteousness, because righteousness came and darkness didn't realize who he was. They were told that a righteous man would come and save them from their sins, would save them as a nation, but when light showed up, they didn't know who he was. And they rejected the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And evil deeds have always, the darkness has always hated the light. Because when the light shows up, buddy, the darkness has to flee. We've watched it through history as the gospel has gone around the world into nations. We watch when the gospel of Jesus Christ lands on shores in places where they have never heard it. People lived in such a way. We think that the gospel has to go in the way of someone's ethnic background and their culture. The gospel over and precedes, if I could say it like this, overshadows or cast out the darkness over every culture, over every ethnic background. The gospel is not bound by any culture. It is not bound by ethnicity. The gospel has gone to everyone, everywhere, and Jesus died to save the entire world. He didn't die to save one small scrap of dirt called the U.S. of A. He died for every nation, for every people, for an entire globe. The circle of the earth has the ability to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him. Folks, when we come to this scripture and we realize the cost that it was for God the Father to send his only begotten Son, we see it in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was great cost as God sent his Son. But think about the cost of the Son living. The Bible uses this term, he was made perfect through suffering. Do you know that God in heaven had never had anybody punch him in the face? He had had us blaspheme him. He had had us scream out and cry or sin against him. But physically, in a fleshly body wrapped in mortal flesh, God had never been punched in the face or had his beard ripped out. He had never been pierced by nails and hung upon a cross. But God sent his Son, and a third part of the Trinity hung between heaven and earth. As he said, like the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Folks, when we look back through history and we want to know when light shed forth upon the world, what is preached? The cross of Jesus Christ is preached. And listen, light had sprung forth a long time before, but when we point back to the light, we point to just what this picture shows, that there's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see it when we realize the crossroads of our lives. Crosses, when Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again for my sin and for your sin. The cost was great. Jesus was one of those costs. Think about that. I mean, his God's only Son brought the light. How about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is coming and empowering the church to spread the light? What a cost that is, that he stays and lives and works inside of us. He seals me so that I can keep the light. I'm just a simple person, and I can understand the fact that I'm not the light, but I can reflect the light because of the Holy Spirit that lives and indwells me. I have no power in myself to be reflective of the perfect light of the Lord Jesus Christ, but when the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer, all of a sudden that light can shine like it never could have before. I had no possibility in the old man to live that way, but when I'm sealed until the day of redemption through the Spirit of God, I have a power inside of me that can lift up Jesus Christ. It's a cost. Think about the cost of faith promise. Do you know what a faith promise is? That's faith. It means believing, I don't got it, but God does. All right. I learned a long time ago when we think that the cost is all on us. But when we get the real concept that there's a God in heaven and I'm just a conduit, that's for some of you electricians, right? I call that a piece of pipe. You call it conduit. All right. If you're a mechanic, it's a funnel. All right. If you're a lady that's working in the kitchen, I'm not sure what that is because I've never been one. But whatever that is, you put that into place right there. But when you pour something in and it just passes through something and it goes to something else, that's what faith promise is. It's just looking up to God and saying, God, I realize that I have no power inside myself to get the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I don't have the funds to really do it myself, but I sure want to be a part of what you've commanded. I don't want to just be a part to spreading and reflecting the light here, but I would love to be a funnel, a conduit, a pipe, someone who takes what we can get here from you and send it all around the world so that people that I'll never meet until I get to heaven can hear about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know faith promise is a great cost to God because God hears our prayers and opens the windows of heaven and pours into people that are willing to be a funnel. And you know what God gets out of me? I can tell you what he gets out of me. When I watch God do what I can't do and do it through me, I just praise him as it passes by. God, you're so good to let me be the funnel. You didn't need me to be here. You could have done it any way you wanted, but you chose to use me to be your funnel to get those things around the world. And one day, he'll even be so good that he'll give me rewards for being a funnel. You know, one day he'll let me stand before the people and he'll say, you see so-and-so over here? You never met him, but he's here because you let me use you as a funnel to get money to a missionary or halfway across the world that gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, is that what heaven's going to be about? I tell you, when I get there, I want to see my Jesus face to face. But I want to see a lot of other folks that have accepted Jesus because of the way God used me. I want to see the people that came to know Jesus Christ because of Landmark Baptist Church and the folks in this place that sacrificially, folks, you know, you say, well, what do you mean sacrificially? I mean sacrificially came to a place where they said, God, you can use me as a funnel. Do you know what? It takes realizing. It takes looking for what God's doing. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about, you know, when you say, God, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. You say, how does that work? Well, sometimes it happens through a raise. You commit something to God, and all of a sudden God gives you a raise. And you say, God, if you give it to me, I'll give it back. Well, you got to be on the lookout, because when you get the raise, guess who ought to get it? God, if you give me a side job, whatever you give me from that. Listen, sometimes it's sacrificial of our time and our work. Sometimes it's just God will take an investment. Some of you folks will say, preacher, I can't go out and get a job. Maybe you have investments. Maybe God won't bless that investment. And all of a sudden it will grow. But you give him the increase. Folks, I don't know how God's going to do it through you, but I know I can go back through the time and tell you how he did it through me. I can tell you when I let God let me be a funnel, sometimes it's I see it come in through an increase and I put it back out because I trusted God with it. Sometimes I'll watch God come and put it in my hand right in the auditorium. And I know that ain't for me. And I'll walk it across to the one that just told me they had a need. And that this person was praying, said God told him had a need. God told me that there was a need that I didn't know about. And both of those people came to the same church looking to be a blessing. One came to be a blessing. One needed a blessing. And all I was a piece of conduit. And I took it in my hand over here and walked over and shook this hand and put it in it. That's all Faith Promise Missions is, folks. It's just letting God use you to funnel money or funnel, if we could say it this, time, effort, whatever it is that God asks from you today. There's a great cost. Number two, I want to say this. It costs to send the light around the world. Do you know we'll have missionaries, more missionaries coming in through the week. And this one right here that's going to the Navajo Indians, you know it takes surrender. Sometimes God wants for us, the great cost is God wants me. He wants all of me. He wants me to surrender to go. You say, well, preacher, hold up right there. Why not? If you can surrender by faith for God to use you as a conduit, why can't you go through the conduit if you needed to? How about instead of just putting the money where your mouth is, how about putting you where your mouth is? Saying, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. God, if you'll use me, I'll go. God, let other people send me. God, if you'll send me, I'll go. Hey, I can tell you, it sounds a lot like the Lord Jesus Christ to me. I've heard pastor preach about up in the annals of heaven, when God says, I need someone to go and redeem man back into me. He sinned, he's fallen, we need somebody to go. And all the angels of heaven came and said, God, I would go, but I can't go to redeem man. And one after the other wished they could be the person. They could go through, you could go through the list of Michael and said, Lord, I'm equipped for a lot of things and I'd be any kind of messenger you wanted me to be, but I cannot take the light of the gospel down there and shed my blood. I don't have any blood. Folks, I know God had a better plan than that, but I know this, when there was a need, and maybe it was when God said, let us make man in our own image. Jesus already knew he was going to take on the image of man and wrap himself in mortal flesh. And he said, I'll go. I'll go. Hey, folks, how many people in the room today have heard the call of heaven that there's a distant land that desperately needs you to take it light? And you've said, I don't know. That's not me. I know I'm being stirred, but it's not me surrendering. Why don't you check up and really ask God to reveal himself clearly to you? Why don't you say, God, I'm willing, but please make it known. Make it clear to me. Maybe today is it making it clear to you. If the preacher gets up and preaches and says, surrender to full-time missions, I know what's that. Maybe you need something like, you know, you need to put a fleece out and get it wet one night and say, well, that ain't a miracle. God, tonight, keep it dry. Well, I'd want one of them. If God was going to send me halfway around the world, hey, folks, God sent me to Florida. You didn't think I put a fleece out a couple times? I remember the night that I begged God, laying in my bed, praying with my wife. My friend had called and said, Pastor Carter needs a man. And there was no burden upon my heart at that moment, but I loved Pastor Carter. And I said, I'll surely pray for him. And my wife and I prayed that night, and we surrendered ourselves to God again. I said, God, I beg you to send him a man. Send him a man that'll love him like I love him. God, send him a man that will work for him like I would work for him. And I went through the list of things that God, I wanted God to do for him. And God, I finished it, said, God, if that man is me, you have Pastor Carter call me. And he never called me. So I knew the fleece would be dry that night. But he called me the next day. Folks, I don't know what it is that you need to say, God, if this is what you're saying to me, make it clear to my heart and my soul so that you can have confirmation that God has sent you. But God, listen, if the gospel's going to get around the world, it's going to take more than money to do it. Someone's going to have to surrender. And what kind of church is going to send people out? Are they going to, listen, the people that are sending them out, are they going to reproduce the New Testament model of Jesus Christ as this church would? People are sending people around the world, but they're not reproducing the Landmark Baptist Church on foreign lands. And this is a model of the church that Jesus started. Say, well, who is he going to send? It's got to be folks just like you. God's got to call somebody just like you to go around the world. You say, preacher, it's surrender. How about for us, those of us that God doesn't call, that means those of us that stay home and reach our Jerusalem, we have to sustain those. Brother Mike Mullins is a great picture. Brother Morgan is a great picture of men from our own midst that God called and they surrendered and we sent them, and our local church had to sustain and hold the rope. Folks, that's who we are as a church. When we send them out, we got to hold the rope. We have to sustain. We have to make sure they're taken care of. We need to make sure they get the gospel. Sometimes, even if we go and help build with our own hands the churches, sometimes when we send them across Florida or across the nation, we've got to go and lay hands and send Bibles and send needs. It's not always money. Sometimes it's just the sustaining needs that they have. Sometimes in this group of people, it's not just money that we need. Sometimes we need someone that'll come and help us and pull with us. We talk about building needs. You know, it's awful hard to build something by yourself. My preacher used to always preach, and it's the gospel model, that two can do twice as much as one. And to be honest with you, on a job site, from what I've learned, two can do more than twice as much as one. Because there's somebody else to hold down to the end of the two before. There's somebody else to hold and to watch and to pull and to do the work. Lastly, I'll say this. The cost to leave the world in darkness is greater than God could bear. And it's greater than any Christian ought to be willing to let happen. The cost to leave the world in darkness. Folks, the heartbeat of Almighty God was for Jesus Christ to come and to lay down his life and to seek and to save that which was lost. How are we any better than our Savior? How can we live our lives without trying to see the world, see the light of Jesus Christ? You say, well, what does that cost? How is that a great cost? Well, think about it right now. Do you know the world likes to put all kinds of things on television that they're all happy and everything is good and everything, when the world, depression and anxiety is higher than it's ever been? Those that live in darkness, you know, darkness as a, when I was a child, it was the anxiety that I felt, but because I didn't know what was in the darkness with me. And that was a real fear, because there are powers of darkness. There is spiritual wickedness in high places that stand against us and want to hold back the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is great depression on all those that, when they get out, they drive away in their fast car. You look at them in their big house and you think everything is hunky-dory. And that's why there are record suicide rates across our nation, not only with people with money, but with teenagers who don't, they've experienced. This generation of teenagers are richer than any other group that have come before them. They don't, you know, I remember when my mom and dad said, if you want a brand new pair of shoes, you'll go buy it for yourself. Otherwise, you'll wear the hand-me-downs you had. Hey, there's not a whole lot of kids wearing hand-me-downs that I've seen anymore. There's a whole lot of kids that are going on Amazon and ordering their brand new Nikes for next day air, and they won't wear a pair of shoes unless they cost $150. You say, well, what does that do? It hasn't made them happy. It hasn't let them see the light. They're so dark, they not only want to end their own life, but they go get guns and go into schools. Because that's how dark it is in this world. The cost of this leaving the world in darkness is too high, folks. We've seen it all around us. We realize if we let the world go even farther into darkness, listen, this voting that we're going to go, we need to vote desperately, but it will reflect the darkness on this world. It will reflect exactly how we've let go as Christians if we're not careful, and just because we decided we're not going to go vote. We're not going to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're not going to give to missions. You say, preacher, I'm not like that. I know you're not like that. But if we're not careful, we'll let ourselves slip one step back closer to being like that. Yeah. We'll let one inch of darkness creep back in where we have gained a hold, and we can't afford to do that. You know why? Because people that die in darkness spend eternity in darkness. You know, when we boil it all down, I'm thankful that Jesus came and died and paid the greatest cost. The cost that I couldn't pay, the cost that you couldn't pay. But the unthinkable for me would be to live this Christian life oblivious that everyone else I see is headed to the devil's hell that I was headed to. The unthinkable cost for me would be to watch folks that I've loved and known and spent time with walk by at the great white throne judgment, and I did nothing to tell them. I did nothing to send the gospel around the world. I did nothing, and I stand there, according to the scripture, with blood upon my hands, because I stood by. I stood by idle and let the world be swallowed up in the darkness when I had the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I had a Holy Spirit inside of me that could empower me to carry the light anywhere He would take me. When I had a God in heaven who was willing, through the riches of His own glory, to pour out through the windows of heaven everything that we needed to get the gospel around the world. But we decided to let it stop and live in darkness until He came. I know there's light. I've received the light, and that's enough for me. Oh, friend, Jesus wanted everyone, the entire world. Let us not stop as a church and a ministry until the whole world knows about Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I don't think everybody will be saved. Everyone will not be saved, because some folks, just according to the scripture, they love darkness rather than light. Yeah. But they deserve to hear the gospel and have an opportunity to accept it, just like I did. You know, if it wasn't careful, they could have looked at my family. Folks, today, I just want to tell you, if you would have seen my family before we got saved, you'd have said, them folks smoke and they drink. They revel in the things of this world. They're lost and on their way to hell. It's no need to tell that family about Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful that somebody walked down my street and didn't skip my door. but they knocked the door and gave me the gospel no matter what we did with it. But I'm thankful that that day, a 15-year-old boy was the one that answered the door. Not the parents, not the ones that would have said, get out of here, we don't want to hear that. But a 15-year-old boy that saw the light that day and received it for himself. Do you know when he got saved, all of a sudden his family said, you see what the light did for him? We got to go down and see about this place that's got the light. And the light changed them. And the light changed the others. And it goes on and on, folks. Listen, I just want to be someone who bears the light. Because I'm not sure who will accept it. But I realize that just like my family, had it not been for a Christian that was burdened with the great commission of Jesus Christ, they never would. I would be lost and on my way to hell. Because folks, like too many, like my parents said, when I wanted the light as a boy, my parents said, live with it. I don't want to be guilty to be a Christian that tells the world to live with it. I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I don't want to come to a place and be acceptant with the status quo. I want to pour myself out. I want to wear out trying to get the light around the world. I don't want to rust out sitting still, living in the light that I've been given while others die in darkness. If you're here today and you're in darkness, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a wonderful day it could be for you if you would just simply humble yourself and accept Jesus Christ, his payment on Calvary for your sin debt, and then allow him, listen, just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he hath raised from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. What a day it would be to pass from death unto life, to pass from darkness unto light. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet? As the musicians come, if you're here today and don't know Christ, would you step out? This is an old-fashioned invitation. The invitation is for you to step out and walk down an old-fashioned aisle. I'll meet you in the front, and I'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're here and you're a Christian, and God spoke to your heart about sharing the light with someone, maybe you need to pray and say, God, I know you spoke to me. But God, I know you spoke to me about going. Why don't you step out and come to the altar and talk to God about it this morning? As Brother Bert sings, you do what God asks you to do.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
Bow your head with me this morning. Folks have come and they're dealing with the Lord this morning. Some for baptism, joining the local church. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you've seen the gospel of Jesus Christ and that you know this place has the light of Jesus and is trying to send it around the world. And you say, I need to be a member of that local church. I want to be a member and help them get the gospel around the world. Maybe you need to come and join. Maybe you need to join through baptism this morning, or just move your letter from another good Baptist church to this Baptist church. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do, you step out and do that this morning as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
This morning, if you're here, you don't know Christ, the invitation is for you. We would love for you to step out while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and folks are praying. What they would love more than anything in this place, all these folks that have received the light, they would love for you to step out and receive the light as well. You can do that this morning by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why don't you step out and come? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Bert sings the next verse. You step out and come.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse.